Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll-free, coast-to-coast. Rich Galen is our guest. He's our man from the Middle East. He's a publisher and a writer of an outstanding e-publication called Mullings.com. He's a political hack by his own admission and of the Republican persuasion. He's our good friend. Rich, welcome back.
Thank you, buddy.
It's good to have you back.
Nice to be back.
It's good to have you back in the USA.
I'll tell you what. You don't have to be in the Middle East for very long to be able to do the calculation between Celsius and Fahrenheit in your head. I had a photo on the website last week of I was over in Kuwait for the elections that they held last week, a week and a half ago now. And I have a photo of the dashboard outside temperature, you know, thermometer, and it's at 50, 50, and that's 122 in English.
50 Celsius, you know, is dangerous. That's all you got to know, it's dangerous.
Right.
Rich, now this is such an interesting thing. I was in Kuwait in 86.
Uh-huh.
I spent a month there 1 week.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just teasing. They're wonderful people. I have a lot of good friends in Kuwait. But Rich, I remember that the parliament had, I think, the emir had just disbanded the parliament at that time. Now, is this the first time the parliament's been back in place?
No, it's been disbanded twice. Then that time when you were there, and then after the invasion of 91, it was disbanded again. But they've had two elections since then. So, you know, it's...
But Rich, I'm sorry, but I hope you brought back how they do that.
How they have elections?
How they disband the parliament.
Well, the emir says go home, and
okay.
That's that.
I mean, I'd like to figure out how to work that magic here sometime.
Well, we have the other thing. I believe the president can call the Congress in, but he can't send them home.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a bummer.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure there have been many, many presidents who wish that was reversed.
So what happened over there?
Well, I was there at the request of the Kuwaiti government. Everybody on this, listening on this will understand this. They called... The Kuwaiti embassy here called and asked if I'd like to go and observe this. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. And they said, well, we're leaving now. And, you know, this is when we're going. This is where we're staying. This is when we're coming back. And I said, you know, who's paying for this? And there was a long pause. And they said, well, the Kuwaiti government is going to pay. Is that a problem? I said, no. The only problem would have been if you would have said you're paying for it. Then it would have been a problem. But as you pointed out in the intro, because I consider myself a political hack and not a journalist, I had no problem with them paying for this. This was fine with me. But the idea was, I mean, it's the bigger point is that we make a mistake in trying to impose the American brand of democracy on everybody else. I mean, our democracy, has evolved because of where we are and what kind of country we are and the size of it and the all the pieces that go into making America America.
Mm-hmm.
And there are obvious. You know, shortcomings in a place like Kuwait. For instance, women can't vote. Well, that's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's not right. And it's a huge issue. It was a huge issue there as well, mm-hmm. about women not being able to vote. But the fact is that the campaigns were very feisty. In most non-U.S. discussions, when somebody says the government, they don't mean like we do here, the Congress and the, mm-hmm. you know, and the presidency. What they mean is the executive branch, or, you know, in London, as an example, whoever wins the most seats in Parliament gets to form a government.
Right.
So you've got to keep, when you're listening to this stuff, because the reason I make that point is because listening to these candidates running for the Parliament, I mean, they kept saying horrible things about the government. Not horrible things about the emir. That's verboten.
Right, you don't do that.
No. And it's not, it's kind of interesting. It doesn't really, I can't really translate it. I've been trying to figure out some metaphor for it, but I can't. You
the king of metaphors?
Yeah, I mean, but it's really odd that people even... I'll give you an example. There was a guy who was the editor-in-chief of the biggest Arabic-language newspaper. This is not a small business. It's a big business. They also published the Arabic-language Newsweek. Mm-hmm. And he got arrested about 2 weeks before the election. This is the editor-in-chief got arrested for saying bad things about the royal family. And so I went. I made an appointment to go to talk to him about this, and he was very kind. He came.
Howell Raines, call your office.
Yes. We have an opening. But anyway, but here's the funny part about it. He's two things. One, he said that he would never say anything bad about the Amir. I mean, he just wouldn't do that. He couldn't. I mean, it was just not in his makeup to say something bad about the Amir. He was talking about the Council of Governments and the royal family. But the other thing was, this is the funny part, when I walked in the office, he was on the phone, and he got off the phone, and he excused himself. He said, I was on the phone with the Minister of the Interior. Now, this was election night. This is the night of the voting. And he said they had heard that there was vote buying going on, so he had sent a photographer over to see if he could get a photo of it, and the photographer had been arrested. And the guy said he was on the phone with the Interior Minister trying to get the camera back. I said, what about the photographer? He said, the camera's $1,000. It's about $3,200. He could find another photographer with a camera. He wanted the camera back.
Rich, I can't believe you made them pay you to go over. You made them pay for you to go over. You should have paid for that yourself.
Oh,
I mean, how could you get a trip like that?
Isn't that great?
Hey, Rich, I heard, though, it's my understanding that the Amir is actually in favor of women voting?
Yes.
The majority of the parliament don't want that.
Yeah, exactly. The majority of the parliament is traditionalist and Islamicist.
Right.
And, you know, you don't get too deeply into that because it gets tiresome fast. But the thing to remember about the Gulf states being Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain,
UAE.
Oman, the UAE and Oman, and Qatar, is that the royal families, these are the last really traditional hereditary monarchies on the planet that I know of. I guess maybe the guy down in Southeast Asia, the Sultan of Brunei.
Mm-hmm.
But there's very few of those left. And the royal families own, influence, or control everything that goes on in their countries. But because this emir is 75, so he's really the third oldest one left. The head of King Fahd is old and infirm.
Sorry.
And Saudi, he's very infirm. This guy's fairly old. And the Sultan of Oman is fairly old, too. But you're looking at the next generation of leaders in this region, all of whom have been educated in the West. I mean, when you talk to these guys, you say, well, I was educated in the U.S. Oh, where? University of Iowa, Colorado State. I mean, it's really fascinating. So they brought back these Western attitudes, and it's beginning to have an impact, I think, for the better.
Rich, give us your website, please.
Mullings.com.
MULLINGS.com. Mm-hmm. Check it out, folks, and subscribe to Rich's thrice-weekly letter that he sends out, and I think you'll like it a lot. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after. Rich Galen is our guest and our good friend. He is the publisher of Mullings.com. Check that out when you get a chance. Even if you're not of the Republican persuasion, folks, you'll enjoy his articles because they're funny and interesting and informative, and might just give you somebody else to argue with, if nothing else. Right, Rich?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you need to do.
Exactly. Okay, Rich, I want you to tell us about the war and how you found the war in Kuwait, how the attitude is over there, and because we still got we won the war, but we still got some mopping up to do over there, and from almost where the rubber meets the road over there, just south of Iraq in Kuwait, what'd you find?
Well, this was after discussions. We had the opportunity to talk to the highest levels of Kuwaiti society. The royal members of the royal family and the huge merchant class, individuals from the huge merchant families, and also academics. Now, both of those groups, Jim, you have to be careful when you talk to them because they don't have any contact with real life. I mean, either academics or very rich people. They don't deal with the real stuff.
They're in another orbit.
Exactly. But I also made a point to talk to people that were, just kind of regular people, whether you're in the shops or walking around, or people that you'd see in the hotel that were, visiting from like Bahrain or some other place. And there was unanimity in this. One, they are undyingly grateful to the United States for what we've done for the people of Kuwait. They may disagree with us on Israel and Palestine and that kind of stuff, but there is no question about the fact that they really do appreciate the fact that we have, you know, suffered a great deal to protect them.
Let me interject one thing here. When I was there in 86, Palestinian terrorists attacked Kuwait.
Yeah.
So it's not like, even though they disagree on some levels, it's not like they don't have their own problems with some of the Palestinian terrorists.
Right. But that's kind of family business for them. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it is, and I wrote about this last week, that there was the former foreign minister said to me that, you know, the United States being in Kuwait, in Iraq, is going to require some time. He said the Americans are going to have to be patient because this will take a little bit of time until everything gets calmed down. This was before the ruling council was appointed over the weekend and began operating. And he said, you know, the United States is everybody's second choice to occupy Iraq. The Syrians want it to be Syrians. The Lebanese want it to be Lebanese.
Right.
But everybody wants it to be them. But if it can't be them, then their next choice is the United States. So he said the United States is to Iraq a necessary evil. And one of the other people in the group...
And pardon me, Rich, but one of the reasons is because we'll give them their country back.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. As Colin Powell once said, the only thing we've ever asked from a foreign adventure is enough land to bury our dead. He said not we're a necessary evil, but we're everybody's favorite necessary evil. So, so there is what the urging was for patience, and they understand that watching footage of American soldiers being killed is very difficult. But they really urge the fact that. If we're patient, this will work out for the best, and it's keeping everybody else out of there. I mean, the Turks aren't coming down.
Right.
The Syrians aren't coming in. The Iranians are not.
That's lost on the mass media, though. Isn't
it? Yeah. I mean, he said not only are you a magnet for, and one person said something very interesting. Jimmy said, "Don't confuse American democracy with freedom. That the Iraqi people can be free without necessarily." Immediately moving to an American-style democracy.
Right.
But the big thing was that they said that we are a magnet for freedom, and we are repelling people who would otherwise want to race in there and begin to carve up Iraq. So.
Oh yeah. Can you imagine if Saddam Hussein had dropped dead 6 months ago, what that place would look like?
It would just be. It'd be
regional chaos. It wouldn't just be Iraqi chaos.
Oh, the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds—they'd be at each other's throats right now this second. I mean. So America is held in very high regard, and it's not, this is also lost. You know, every ounce of gasoline and diesel fuel that was used or that has been used in Iraqi freedom was provided at no charge by Kuwait. Now they got
that
a lot,
right.
But they didn't charge a dime for any of that stuff. So that,
I'll be darned.
And they also shut off literally half their country to Kuwaitis. Kuwaitis, nobody was allowed to go into almost half the country. So that the U.S. so the coalition forces would have freedom of operation as they were massing for the invasion.
Why don't we see that on NBC and CBS and ABC?
You know, again,
why is that in the New York Times and the Washington Post?
You have to go and sort of go with an open mind and not say, well, you know, this is. Well, that's not true. I don't have an open mind either. I'm a fan of the president, so I was looking for good news and I found it.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, I think the news is you didn't have to look hard.
No, that is true.
You stumbled on it easily.
Yeah, now, I mean, as I said, the Kuwaiti government was paying for this, and they set up a lot of these meetings, but I was free to move around. In fact, pardon me, I ran into the kid that wrote the, as part of his doctoral thesis.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Pardon me. Part of his doctoral thesis is the weapons of mass destruction things, which the British, in putting together their dossier, literally bootlegged from the Internet, from a draft of his dissertation. And I ran into him in Kuwait City, and somebody told me that's who he was, so I ran over and talked to him, and I gave him this great advice. I said, when you're going to have to defend your doctoral thesis, you know, with either your oral defense, walk in, put it on the table, walk out, and say, MI6 thought this was fine. See ya.
Rich Galen, thank you for being here. Mullings.com, ladies and gentlemen, be sure to check that out and subscribe to Rich's free letter, which comes out 3 times a week. Thanks, Rich. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, buddy.
Good job. A great American, ladies and gentlemen, Rich Galen. 29 after. I'll be right back. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.